You are about to participate in the most ambitious culinary experiment ever imagined.
This competition is going to test everything.
Adapt quickly to anything. I mean anything. The wildest day of your life starts right now.
All new 24 and 24 Last Chef Standing. Sunday night at 8 on Food Network. Stream on Max.
Hey, everybody. Welcome to Cool Games, Inc., video game design podcast from Polygon and the Vox Podcast Network. I'm Griffin McElroy.
I'm Nick Robinson.
Nick, I have a question for you, and it's kind of been bouncing around my mind. It's been like a really hectic week, and sometimes when I'm like doing my work, I get these questions that just get stuck in my craw. But I'm so busy producing content, mostly with you, and I don't have time to get on, you know, Jeeves or whatever to figure it out. And so I was hoping we could have like a kind of a conversation about this.
Sure, open dialogue.
Yes, and if and maybe like, I don't know, maybe this is the episode where we crack this case wide open.
What's up?
Does Sonic the Hedgehog have a dad?
Oh boy.
I've played, I love him. Mm-hmm. I love him and what he does, like in the games and the cartoons, and sometimes he wears clothes and it's really fun. And he collects rings and eats hot dogs and we all love that. But you've never seen, does he have a dad or has he just always been? Is he maybe the first hedgehog?
No, so, okay. So what you're telling me then is that you haven't heard about Bonnick the Hedgehog.
Now this is, I don't, where you're taking... I want to know if Sonic the Hedgehog has a dad or not.
Yeah,
and it sounds to me with this line of logic, you're wanting to set up like maybe a, just like an easy answer where you pretend like you know, but you don't know.
No, I know. He's from Archie. He's from the Archie comics that came out in the 90s. He was in issue, I think, like 15 or 16. They go back to the Mobius Kingdom village, and Sally Acorn is there, and Antoine is there, and they say, Sonic, we have someone we want you to meet. And then they kind of, they walk him into the throne room, and instead of Sally sitting in her throne, it's Bonnick the Hedgehog, Sonic's dad. And he's kind of like...
B-O-N-I-C, Bonnick.
B-O-N-I-K, which is foreshadowing kind of that he has kind of a Dr. Robotnik connection, that's like a few issues down the line. But he's like kind of, he looks like Sonic, but he's kind of got like a lighter blue because his color's faded. He's a little bit older. And... He can do a spin dash, but it's like kind of slow.
Does Knuckles? No, I'm sorry, I can't move on yet. Cause you, I just Googled and
what?
I know you're working hard and you wanted to impress everybody, but there's no results at all except for somebody's Sonic OC, which I guess is like they sort of envision Sonic characters in the teen drama the OC. Which if that's the case, I think definitely that Seth Cohen would be Tails. And I mean obviously Ryan would be Knuckles, right? He's always fighting, but that's a whole nother conversation.
You're talking to yourself at this point.
I just wanted you to like not fucking fuck me around right now.
I'm not.
On a fucking podcast. I just Googled Bonnick and there's nothing, dude.
You got to Google Bonnick the did you search for Bonnick the Hedgehog?
I Googled Bonnick the Hedgehog. And of course, Google, my oppressor, doesn't want it auto corrected it. And there's no way, once it starts auto fixing your shit, there's no way to change
that's
that.
That's probably the problem is, and that's why he's such a hard character to Google. He's got kind of like, you know how like witch house bands would have names with arcane Unicode symbols in them so you can't Google them? Bonnick the Hedgehog is kind of hard to find on the internet because so many search engines are...
Churches, the band, came to Austin. And I wanted to go see them in concert, love their music. Mm-hmm. And it's very poppy and fun. But I can't Google their damn name.
The upside down V is throwing you off.
I think it's a right side up V, but it's still, I typed that in and Google's like, did you mean actual churches? And now all of a sudden I'm sort of like cost comparing.
Yeah, you and the wife have two tickets to go to a church.
To go to churches.
Yeah, which is weird because most churches are free in my experience.
Has there ever been and please don't get the way you get sometimes about this.
Okay.
Has there ever been a birth? Where are all these folks coming from? I don't even know that I've seen an egg, except for with the KOs.
You got to stop calling them KOs. They're called Chow. But let me think. They're definitely not. There was definitely a pregnant character in the Sonic comics at one point. Let me just really quickly hit Archie Sonic pregnant. Acorn get pregnant? Who got pregnant? What am I thinking
but
of?
But Google, because they're in charge of all the information now, they're just going to change it to Sonic not pregnant, because he is, right? Like, they're just like, oh, I saw you typed in Sonic pregnant.
I got something for you.
Oh, good.
Here is a picture of a duck doctor. He's sitting, he's got some good bedside manner. He's very smiley.
Hey, and where's this picture from? I need to know.
It's from the Sonic Archie comics, clearly.
Oh,
you
it
can
is.
Tell from the art style.
Hey, all right. It's okay. It's a duck doctor, and he's with, I guess, Mrs. Prower.
Yeah.
And
he's saying to Mrs. Prower, Mrs. Prower, you got here just in time.
Oh, that's kind of ominous. Because
weird.
If she'd been a few minutes late, Tails would have been an elevator baby.
Right. And then you can tell from the little toupee that's Antoine kind of next to the bed. And that's baby Tails, and he looks fucked
up. He looks high as fuck.
He looks super duper high.
Okay, so this is good. I just wanted to know, where are these all? There's so many fun creatures, but where are they coming from? Because I started to think that Knuckles was the first echidna, Tails was the first fox, and the only fox. And then there's a whole thing about sometimes the creatures that they free from Dr. Robotnik's, like, iron pods or whatever, like, why aren't they the size of the other animals that get to, like, fight Dr. Robotnik?
Right. And they don't seem to have the same cognitive awareness that, like, it's a real sort of Disney situation where, like, some of the animals are completely conscious and then some of the animals are just animals, like dogs.
Hey, what's your favorite? Who's this? This is an old Knuckles.
Yeah, that's Knuckles' dad, Locke.
Okay, so they do have, some of them have dads.
Mm-hmm. Here's a frame of Locke kind of talking to his son when he was about 8 years old, and he got hurt. He's tending to a hurt Knuckles, so you can kind of, it's also a good glimpse at a young Knuckles. And at that point in his dad's lifespan,
he's got a little soul patch.
A sort of blue soul patch hanging from the bottom of his echidna chin, which is a good look.
Nice. Do you have an OC? I just Jeeves'd it and found out what that actually meant. Like, if you were to animal, like, have an animal in Sonic,
yeah,
what would yours do?
It's funny because I've gotten this question about 975 times in my Tumblr inbox.
Not for me.
But not from you, as far as I know. Those little anonymous circle heads could be Griffin. I never had one.
I would do a little goat.
There's no goats in the Sonic universe, I don't think.
That's it. That's why I'd be the first one.
You'd be the first goat. You'd be the progenitor.
Yeah. And his name would be Griffin.
Okay.
He'd be a lot like me, but in Sonic.
I think I'd like to do like a fun kind of Miles Tails Prower, and he looks a lot like Tails. And maybe his name is Tails, but he's incrementally cooler. Like, he's got like a sunglasses and a backwards baseball hat, and his name's Tails with a Z at the end.
Oh, hell yeah. Does he know Tails, the regular Tails? Does he know the whole Sonic crew, or is there mix-ups sometimes where Sonic's like, hey, Tails, and it's like, no, I'm the other one. I don't know how to fly a plane.
There's some of that, for sure, and I think that could be a fun sort of thing.
He's like a fun farce. There's not enough farce in Sonic.
Yeah, can I really quickly, last Sonic timeline thing I'm gonna send you, there's like so many the fucking family tree that was going on in the in the Sonic comics towards the kind of the late 2000s got so fucking
get it out.
Buck wild. That's the
so
you see Knuckles kind of near the top there. Knuckles being the son of Laura Sue, who also had a daughter named Julie Sue. Now, Julie Sue gave birth to Kragok and Ellie Za. Kragok obviously married Lien Da, who had a daughter named Marinda, and then a son named Luger. Then they had, obviously, Moritori Rex, who gave birth to Menaker
and
Duralo.
What the fuck is this? Are you showing me? Is this canonical?
This is canonical in the comics. Menaker's son, Dimitri, obviously wound up marrying Edmund, and having Angela and Byron as sons, who gave birth to Jeffrey,
Spencer. This is like the Book of Judges.
Yeah.
This is the Exodus, like chapter one. Holy shit. All right. I changed my OC.
What is it now?
I don't want to be a goat.
Where you going?
I want to be in Sonic, but I want to be Baby Groot.
Okay, well, I can't help you there.
And I'd be walking around, but it would be me, like, hanging out with Sonic and friends, but I would just be like, Groot!
Yeah, he loves to say his own name. It's extremely funny.
But it's me and Sonic, and, like, I would help stop Dr. Eggman.
Hmm. Maybe we should watch Sonic Boom sometime.
Fuck yeah, dude.
What's games?
What is games? So, we have a bunch of them this time, but you have to go to
this week has been buck wild, so, and I have to run out the door to a game event, so we're gonna power slam.
Well, you just holler when you need to go, but before that, here's one from Constable Jones. He says, doctors hate you because of your one weird trick. To defend yourself, you need more weird tricks, but the more weird tricks you accumulate, the more groups of angry professionals want to hunt you.
Gotcha.
Kind of a Prey vibe. You been playing Prey?
Not yet.
You get the neuromods and you get the powers for them, but if you take on the alien neuromods, then the ship's machinery will want to kill you because it'll think you're an alien.
Oh, that's kind of a cool idea. But in this case, the alien is just doctors who are mad at you because you've sort of subverted the whole medical industry with your weird tricks. So you've accrued piles of salves that you've made. You figured out all these just through probably years of iteration. You realized, oh, if I rub applesauce on my face, I get clear skin, and that just destroys the dermatology industry. So they obviously are headhunting you.
How the fuck do you know what I do at night? How the fuck do you know that I open up a little snack pack size applesauce
and just dab a bit? One of those will last you a week if you use it sparingly.
Yeah, you gotta refrigerate it, but. You keep that in the refrigerator, and then at night you put it on, and then it does get all over your pillowcases and sheets. And if you sleep with a loved one, which I do, they might complain about the smell and the flies.
I was having that problem too. The trick is you got to get organic and you got to not get cinnamon.
I love the taste of it. Sometimes though, I'll like be asleep and I'll wake up or I'll have a dream where I'm eating like delicious cinnamon applesauce.
Oh, you've been sleep saucing. That's what they call that. When your tongue comes out, you lap up a little bit of that pillow sauce.
And then like the skin around my mouth is old and sallow, but the rest of my skin is tight, like just a tight face.
Almost like an apple.
So, but then I would do this and then the doctors would come kick in my door and like take my, I don't know.
The thing is they can take your applesauce, but they can't take the knowledge. And that's what really gets them. That's what eats them up inside is the spread of this applesauce life hack.
I mean, I've seen Michael Clayton. They know how to take the knowledge away. I think that's what they did in that movie, that there was a guy who, like, they didn't like him, and so they just went after him. And then at the end of it, Michael Clayton has his day.
That's a weird thing about that. Is that really the premise of that film? Because I once owned Michael Clayton, but I bought it on this short-lived, like, I was at a CVS, and they were having a clearance where you could get these special DVDs that were, like, $2, and the reason they were so cheap is because they were temporary DVDs that when you opened them, they automatically destroyed themselves after 3 days, so it was like a...
Wait, what?
It was a special DVD that, like, you had 3 days to watch it, because after you open the packaging and it gets exposed to air...
No.
The disc just destroys itself and becomes unwatchable. I swear to God. It was like the most wasteful. Like it was probably more expensive to make that than to make a normal DVD, but they could sell it for cheaper prices because you weren't getting a permanent ownership of that movie.
It has some sort of acid on it that reacted to the air that the Michael Clayton DVD would dissolve.
Yes. Well, the DVD would remain intact and you could still use it for a coaster.
But the code would eat itself.
Mm-hmm. There was a virus on there.
It's like that's some Ghost in the Shell shit. That's like you put one of those up in your computer at the wrong time, upload it to the internet, and it erases all of the files on the internet after 3 days. That's a good game right there. That's a fucking good game. Where you put the disc in the internet and it erases like whitehouse.gov after 3 days.
Ooh.
And then that's the first website that all the other ones are connected to. And so it erases all of it.
It's kind
of
cool because it's like the ring, but also like CDs are kind of like a ring if you think about it. So there's probably something we could do with that.
What if you wore a CD like a ring? Do you ever?
I've tried it.
Yeah.
Don't work so good. You got to do.
Unless
like
your fingers are like super far apart.
Mm-hmm. We could put that on fucking Jambone. Fucking.
Oh, yeah. From our. Okay.
Luigi Classic. Fucking. All right. What do you think of the Filipino's idea? This is my first rodeo.
How would we ensure that? Because you play the game more than once, and the title isn't true anymore.
I mean, one thing that I always love that a game that when a game does it is when it acknowledges like the number of attempts you've made on a level. Like you get a special bonus in Fire Emblem for like beating a level on the first try, right? Stuff like
right,
that.
Right.
So what about a whole game where you get one go at it? And then to kind of piggyback off our previous idea, it zaps itself off your HDD.
Oh, a self-erasing game.
Mm-hmm.
I don't think Steam likes those anymore.
No,
and we gotta do Steam for some reason.
I mean, they're fucking pulling down Alan Wake in like a week. So
hey, let's talk about that. That's not to be a game podcast, but that could be like a cool business model for us.
How so?
Because Alan Wake's getting taken down because apparently they have music in it. There's like six fucking songs in that game, by the way, that play at the end of the chapters. And those six songs are why like these billions of work hours that went into this game is going to be erased forever and sent to hell because of these six fucking songs in the game. But we could do that. We could make a game. And then if it's good, it's like a little thing that like is a cult classic and people are talking about. You play Alan Wake? What's Alan Wake? You're making that game up because it doesn't exist. If it's bad, it's gone and we don't have to be embarrassed by it anymore.
That's kind of cool. So you're saying our business model will be using the nuances of music licensing issues. We turn every game we make into its own little PT.
Fuck it, dude. We could do that with this podcast. Like, I'll be honest, I don't think this episode's been very good so far.
Right.
And so let me just drop in like all the things that I used to say, all the
Griffin,
words that got in the way.
We are
going
to have to delete it, though.
All the favorite TV shows have gone out the window.
What's interesting is if you sounded less like the real song, like your cadence and tone of voice was so perfect that that's actually what gets us in trouble. If I sang it, we wouldn't be in we wouldn't have an issue.
Well, thank you for that nice compliment.
Yeah.
That was Sugar Ray. When it's like I have to be deliberate. Like I don't want people to think that was not a parody.
No, that was
that
just
was
a,
not.
It was not in any way sort of creative or transformative in use. It was literally just the song.
I want everybody to know I'm not making a statement about Sugar Ray's When It's Over, and I'm not being
no joke, no opinion.
Not being funny about it. I'm just like all the things that I used to say. All the words that got in the way, and that's the chorus, and like you're really not supposed to use the chorus.
This is strictly unfair use.
No, I'm doing it, and I want you to take it. I'm gonna take this section of the podcast. I'm gonna sell it on Apple Music, and I'm gonna charge $1.99 for it.
You should probably also put it on YouTube. Monetize.
I'll put it on fucking YouTube, and I'm gonna monetize it in all countries. Thank you very much. How about? We should make a game in one of these.
Sure. What do you have any ideas?
Here's one from Hella Lugosi who says, a game where if you die, you take control of two people who start weakened at Bernie's-ing your corpse to try to finish the level. And then I had, this was immediately where my mind went, and RO Red went the same place. It says, if those two people die, four more appear to control them controlling you. And then fucking Hella Lugosi steps back in. I love this collaboration in the community. This can and will continue exponentially until either you complete the level or your processor melts.
Uh-oh.
Oh, shit. It's Sugar Ray.
Fuck.
They called it in.
This idea is really good. And the escalation is definitely the most appealing part to me. There's a game that is coming out on the PS4. I think it might have come out this last week or it's coming out this week, called Super Rude Bear Resurrection. And it's like a Super Meat Boy adjacent platformer where every time you die, your corpse, like if let's say you die, you land on a spike pit, your corpse stays there and you can use it as a platform to continue through the level. I'm picturing sort of a 3D version of that, but although I do feel like let's say it's a Splinter Cell action game, Sam Fisher dies, Sam Fisher's brother Bob Fisher and Mike Fisher show up, it's a lot harder to stealthily get three dudes, one of whom is dead, through a facility than one sort of deft, leathered up, light up head, like sneaking guy, right? Like it seems more challenging the more fellas you add.
Yeah, and I mean, it would be Sam Fisher sneaks around and he climbs up between the two walls and tries to drop on a guy, but he falls too far and he dies.
Right.
And then, but the two people who come would be Andrew McCarthy and Jonathan Silverman, who, and I don't know why they're in the game. And they're old as fuck now, I think. These two boys are aged, I believe. And so I think that there's a certain depreciation there. But what I like about where the suggestion went in the Reddit is, and by the way, this is cool that this is, we have on record the first cool conversation that ever happened on Reddit. Andrew McCarthy and Jonathan Silverman die because they're not spies, right? They get fucking lit up by these terrorists. And then four people, well, no, hold on. If it's two per corpse, all of a sudden we need six people to help carry these three dead
There's three bodies.
Around.
Yeah.
And these three dead bodies are linked. And all of a sudden we got a chain going.
It's like
a Rockettes like kicking line. Every other one is a dead person who's not here anymore.
The thing about this game is like you get three game overs and it's basically an RTS. Like it escalates so quickly.
Yeah, but I mean, and eventually, I think after fucking five, we're talking about everything. Like it's such an enormous chain. I think you could develop more complex hold structures. So like after a while, a chain is too unwieldy, so you form like a phalanx.
Maybe a pyramid.
A triangle.
This is basically the Wonderful 101, but like nine of them are dead.
If it was Wonderful 101, I think that would math out to about nine corpses in the pile of 101 Jonathan Silverman's and Andrew McCarthy-isms.
Wait, maybe I think my math might be way off, though, because the nine deaths is actually, you lose your first guy, then you lose the two people who came for him, then you lose the six people who came to carry those three.
Nine squared is 81, so I think it would be 90 folks. Right?
I don't know numbers. I just know that this is going to be a lot of corpses.
It's going to be a lot of corpses. And I think they are doing a sneaking mission. So when you're a triangle of 81 folks just trying to get through the Chicago City Hall water treatment facility without blowing up the bombs.
Yeah.
It's going to be tough, cuz then when you die, all of a sudden we're talking about, I think, 1600 people. And at that point, it's like some fucking Train to Busan, just like human waves.
And which is interesting because it's not really a stealth game anymore at that point, but it gains the ability of like it's a self-correcting game in terms of difficulty, which I really like.
Yeah.
Like eventually you get to the last level. If you're anything like me playing a Splinter Cell or Hitman game, rest in peace, Hitman. Like all of a sudden you're swarming this.
What's
facility.
Wrong with Hitman?
Dude. I don't even want to. It's hopefully nothing. But
are they like not doing?
Square Enix dropped IO Interactive.
What the fuck? Really? I missed that.
Yeah, and so currently the status of Hitman is in limbo, which is terrifying and heartbreaking because they've explicitly said that they were planning on doing like a second season.
Well, it sounds to me like the one who got the hit put out on them.
Was it Agent 47?
It sounds to me like sauce for the goose is sauce for the gander about the Agent 47 in this one.
Gotcha. That would be a good... You should get back on the news beat at Polygon. That would be a really good headline.
Sauce for the goose is sauce for the gander, : Square Enix...
Subhead.
Take puts out a hit on Hitman maker... Are they developer? Do they develop or publish? I still don't know the difference between those two. the Hitman folks, IO Interactive, got a hit put out on them by Square Enix.
I like this because it's sort of an inversion of the every time a new trailer comes out, someone writes a headline where it's like, Hitman hits its way into stores June 29th. Fucking Super Mario hops his way onto consoles. This is like Hitman dies his way out of my 2018 Game of the Year list. Kind of a sad.
We thought this one was going to be a hit, man. But Square Enix, who helped make it, again, I don't know if they publish or develop. I still am not sure
this
what that
is all
relationship
part of the headline,
means.
Right?
Yes,
parenthetical.
I have to explain that in bracket. Well, we're inside. We're three deep in the parentheses right now. Yeah. So it's like a bracket, a curly brace, and then it says, "Holy hit, man."
God,
can you can you believe it? Agent 47, the bald one, goes down, hoisted on his own razor wire or whatever he uses.
Yeah, I kind of like maybe if they do end up, because I'm not really clear on whether Square Enix gets to keep the rights to Hitman, which is really scary, but maybe IO Interactive makes a new game called The Bald One Goes Down.
Yes.
About another Agent 48.
Bald Kill.
Baldman. God, I hope that situation ends well. I'm joking about it because it breaks my fucking heart. Hitman was so, so, so good.
That barcode on the back of his head.
Mm-hmm.
What do you think? I have a calorie counting app. I count my calories and it has a barcode scanner. And so I scan it and it's like, this is how many points this like peanut butter, this applesauce cup is worth when you eat it at night off your own face like a hungry bear. If you scanned his barcode, what do you think it is?
You're talking about
like an Oikos Greek yogurt.
I would love to know also, like there was that old barcode scanning, like fucking
the cat scan, like, cat. Yeah, we've talked about this before.
We have, but there was also like, I don't know if we ever talked about the fact that there was a product you could get that was kind of like adjacent to a Tamagotchi type vibe where you would scan barcodes, they would load into your game as like creatures.
Oh, fuck,
I would
that's
love
good.
To put the Hitman in my game.
Let's save him. Hashtag save Hitman. What do we need to send? Roswell, remember when they saved that show, they sent folks like, I think, condoms.
That seems like a weird... You're getting confused with how Jared Leto's Joker would send used condoms to Will Smith while they were making
that
movie.
That was it, yeah.
That's not. And
I got confused because Will Smith was in Men in Black, which is also Aliens.
Gotcha. So. Okay, that makes sense. Let's do an advertisement.
Hey, I think we've earned it. I mean, we don't get any money from it, but someone does?
Someone does, theoretically.
Who even gets it?
I don't know how it works.
Someone's getting it, right?
You've been in the podcast game much longer than
if
I have.
If I've been in the podcast game, I don't know. Is this gratis? I don't understand. Is this a non-profit ad? I don't understand.
This is a non-profit. I like our show because we're doing what a lot of other podcasts are afraid to do, which is advertisements that are just kind of to spread awareness about games like Age of Empires, Age of Kings, but the DS version, not the PC version.
That ain't bad. That ain't bad.
Point blank. It was kind of bad. Point blank DS, which was.
Oh, shit.
Remember the light gun game, Point Blank?
Yeah, bud.
They did a DS version.
I know. Why the fuck did you play? It's like, do you want to simulate the act of shooting at things by tappa, 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 tappa? Like,
it is wild how much
easier. Nintendo tried that shit so much. Like, it's a Metroid game, but there's no shooty. You just a tappy, tappy, tap, tap, tap like a gun.
Yeah, there was a lot of like, because the Wii didn't really have, like, a lot of games on the Wii also did the thing where they would pretend that controller was good enough to be a light gun and you could like aim down sights with it. You fucking super couldn't, and you were moving a mouse cursor around and shooting
now,
things, and it was not
that House of the Dead game that came with its own light gun peripheral thing that you plugged the Wiimote into. That was tight as hell.
Yeah, but
that
it
was
the
like,
only
one.
You shoot the upper left and the lower right corner, and it syncs up. Like, no, it doesn't. It's not.
It kind of did, but not good.
Not
enough.
Good
yes,
enough.
I agree. So I think
have probably deduced by now what we're talking about, right?
GameFly.
GameFly
is the thing. If you want to play more video games, and God knows I do. I love these fucking things.
You do.
Then look, I want to tell you about GameFly. It's the best way to get and buy and rent all your favorite games. You go and you pick your games and they mail them directly to your door. They're the best and they have over 9,000 titles to choose from.
Hey, Griffin,
did you ever watch?
Hold on a sec. Before you get into whatever you're going to
you
say,
ever watch
Griffin, hold
that
on,
one.
Hold on. Hold on a sec. Did you ever watch that one anime called Dragon Ball Z?
Which, that one, I watched it once, and I saw some sort of space ape, and I said, this is a little scary for me, because he had sharp teeth, and I thought about what it would be like if he bit into my leg or something.
Right. Well, what I was going to talk about was there's a scene, and it might also involve that space ape, but it's a scene where a guy look at other guy, and he say, oh, power levels too big, it's over 9,000.
9,000 is what the GameFly ad said. So if this sparked a memory in your mind,
that's
it's probably
what it,
that
yeah,
number.
That's what it was. The GameFly thing reminded me of how he take his special hat off and he smushes it all up and he says, it's too big, it's 9,000 power level. And the other guy goes, what the heck? And it's one of the funniest cartoon I ever saw on YouTube.
And then... what's my power level, do you think, right now? Because yours is really fucking, like, that whole run is, like, yours is so strong, and I want to know how I compare.
I bet you're rocking a solid 9.
That's 1,000 times less than Vegeta or whoever is
with
in
Gamefly.
That
you can
scene.
Get games like Over the Hedge for Nintendo DS, a game,
did you?
A game that I rented May 17th, 2006, and then returned June 6th, 2006. So I held on to it for almost a full month.
Hey, good.
That game, by the way, I've clicked on it on the Gamefly website, and there's a reviewer who gave it a perfect 10. This is a user on Gamefly's website called Axloon.
Named Babylonian.
Yep. No, this person reviewed it in 2006 and wrote, "This game is the peak of human civilization. It changed my life, fixed my marriage, and neutered my cat." Okay.
Oh,
I was
right.
Recently in a car accident, and the doctor said the reason I survived was because my copy of Over the Hedge managed to drag me from my burning vehicle and carry me to safety. If our constitution allowed the holy union of man and DS game, I would propose to Over the Hedge DS in an instant.
Hey, wow, this person really likes Over the Hedge.
It seems like it. I mean, I think the reason I rented it is because Over the Hedge for DS... got a 8.2 out of 10 from IGN, and I was like, well, I gotta see this.
Yeah. They have movies.
They do have movies.
You can go to gamefly.com/CGI and you can start your free premium 30-day trial today, and it lets you check out two games and or movies at a time. Maybe you do one movie, one game. Mm. And you can get this offer by going to gamefly.com/CGI and go start, sign up now, and get your games for free for 30 days.
Yeah.
And I'm looking at my account now. I want to see what funny stuff. Uh-oh.
What'd you get?
Nick.
What?
I have a $48,000 late fee on Zoo
Tycoon. Oh, no. Have you been playing it?
It's good. You know what I got yesterday?
What?
Hippo.
Oh, nice. You put him in your zoo, I guess.
No, I didn't catch him.
Oh, no. Man, I'm looking here. I wonder what the game I held on to for the longest is. I had Incredible Hulk Ultimate Destruction on the Xbox for like 3 months, but that game owns, so that was the right move.
Let's go back to making games because you have to leave
and go see
Reggie and the gang, Bill.
Let me actually, because they're moving the location of this event, I want to see precisely how long it's going to take me to get there.
Yeah, map it out.
Say
your address out loud on the show.
Okay.
I'll help you.
At 1-800.
That's a phone number.
Street. I live at 1-800th Street.
That's a San Francisco's much larger than I thought, maybe.
Yeah. I'm going to type in the secret name of the game I'm playing.
What do you think it is? Just kidding. I know what it is. And I know we're not allowed to say on the show, but it's... Super Mario Odyssey 2.
You have to stop.
You all don't even know how far ahead we are. Yeah. Like, kidding.
We're on that fucking print schedule. You know how magazines get to see games like 8 years in advance so they can carefully hand produce every issue with a printing press?
We're not allowed to say what the game is, but let's just say it rhymes with Melda Bonline. It's gonna be tight, dude. Meld Up Online, you can like play as any like a Zora or a Goron or a Hylian or a Kokiri, and you all just fight brutally. And there's different classes like Link and Bomb.
I'm gonna be Deku Tree.
Nick, let's drop back in. We just took a break, sort of clear our heads. Well, no, you went to.
Stop. You can't.
I'm looking at the calendar invite. I'm not going to say the name of the company, but it does say Reg and Bill's. It says Smash and Slices with Reg and Bill. So I guess you were getting pizza with Reggie Fils-Aimé and Bill Trennan at Nintendo.
Mm-hmm.
Can't say that again. Cannot say the name that of the game that you were checking out, but where did you beat Ganondorf?
I can't. Stop it.
Question is, does only one player get to be Ganondorf?
Let's talk off the air about the Ganondorf factor. But
did you play? So did you play the Tingle class?
I got to be Ganondorf.
Holy shit!
He's has a big sword.
So wait, was he the big sort of pig version, the angry pig version?
No,
or
it was the one from Smash Brothers who's based off of Sakurai's dad.
Is that true?
Yeah,
Sakurai's dad is fucking cut. Then holy
cut
shit!
And he's green. And he's got a big sword. Dad.
That's the dreamiest dad I've ever even envisioned.
Tell me about it. Do you want
to? I'll be Tingle.
Okay. Well, you better call dibs. I think you need to pre-order to get if you want to be the Tingle because there's only one Tingle per server shard.
Fuck.
Smoke and Aces fan 55 suggests Resident Evil the movie.
Stop!
What?
Stop! That username. No.
Smoke and Aces fan 55. Smoking aces.
I mean, there's a fanhood for everything.
And also, 55 is maybe my favorite part of it, because if we're going by the general internet rule, that's probably a 62-year-old man, right? That's a 62-year-old Smokin' Aces fanboy. So this Smokin' Aces fanboy says, Resident Evil, the movie series, the game.
This would be, I mean, this is Resident Evil 6, isn't it? Like, this is what they did with Resident Evil fucking 6.
Sort of. I want something a little more directly, like, hopping through lasers.
Yeah.
As Milmajomovich.
Milmajomovich does, like, that's like half of each movie, right? Like, at Resident Evil Re-Extinction, I think, was one of them. Yep. And there's a scene where the movie starts with her flipping through laser grids just to practice, and she has them at her home. And then, like, literally halfway through the movie, she has to do it to, she goes into a hallway and the lasers kick on. She's like, just like old. She looks back at the camera and she says, just like old times, and then flips through the laser grid. Mm-hmm. And then when she opens the door at the end of that tunnel, she steps into another tunnel with another laser grid. And she's like, they're not playing around this time. And
this time there's two of them?
Yeah, she flips through them again. So
I guess this would be just a game where you flip through a bunch of lasers and you see a guy get sliced up.
There's a bowling alley here in Austin, and they have a laser grid. Let me stop and explain, because there's going to be folks who think I'm talking about, like, dark light.
Yeah, you're not talking about, like, bowling after dark.
I'm saying there's a room with a heavy black curtain, and you put your, like, $2 into a slot, and there's, like, a little screen showing you how to play, and you put $2 in a slot, and then you step through the heavy curtain, and it's full of fucking fog in there, and you can see the lasers, and you have to get through them to the other side and press a button, and then get back through the lasers and exit the room and press a button outside. But every time you touch a laser, it adds, like, a 10-second penalty, it's whoever gets the fastest time through the lasers.
This doesn't sound like it has anything to do with bowling at all.
It doesn't. They're just trying to get, like, whatever money they can. They're trying to cover all their bases.
I was about to say, well, it also just makes sense. Like, if you're a fucking evil villain who wants to build a lair, it's hard to secure funding for that. But if you get a bowling alley, you can use that to fund your true passions, which is making this sort of laser hell game for people to opt into.
I don't think this would be a good game. A good premise for a game is dodging laser grids, though, because anytime I see that in a game, I usually do a quick calculus where I add up, like, how many med kits I currently have, and then how long it took me to find those med kits, and then I sort of compare that against how much time it's going to take for me to bob and weave and tuck and prone and fucking flip and climb over all these lasers.
Right.
And it's like, well, this would take me 15 minutes, but these med kits, I can go make two of these in 5 seconds. So, zap, 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 buzz, 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 buzz.
Yeah, what game? I'm trying to figure out what possible game you could be tapping into a memory from where you're crafting med kits, but there's also a laser. What kind of, like, survival DayZ Sly Cooper game is this theoretical?
I mean, Sly Cooper's got lasers. Sly Cooper's got lasers for
days.
Doesn't
got crafting, though.
That's fair.
Maybe it should.
You know what I'm saying, though? Like, if I see a laser grid in a game and it's like, work your way through, and it's usually like, no, I just want to. If I was Catherine Zeta-Jones in Entrapment, I would just, like, run right through those motherfuckers, grab the diamond or whatever, and then get back to fucking Sean Connery or whatever was happening in Entrapment. It's been a while.
What do you think of this game from Niche Hobby Robot, who says, Player Unknown's Tattlegrounds. 100 children are gathered in an enormous preschool and must find the caretakers to tell on each other for bullying. I kind of want to hone in on the idea of Player Unknown's Battlegrounds, but it's 100 children. Like,
well, I don't want the children to hurt each other.
No guns.
When you become a dad, Nick, you start to hate watching kids hurt each other.
That's just biology 101.
I had this technology in Player Unknown's Battlegrounds, where if
tattling.
If I'm shot from 300 yards away by a person I will never, ever, ever see, I would like to be able to tattle on that person.
To who? Like, to Gabe Newell?
Who made the game? I don't know. Player
Gabe
Unknown?
Gabe Newell. That's who Player Unknown is. We're not supposed to say that, but in the game's press, we do know that Player Unknown's real identity is, in fact,
Gabe Newell.
Gabe Newell. How do we... So, no guns, I guess, but 100 children running around. I guess the idea that is exciting about this to me is a game built around the social dynamics of hundreds of people pretending to be children with a tattling component. Like, maybe it's 90 children and then 10 like sort of teachers or chaperones.
Okay. you have to like knock a kid over or something, like
you have to
like,
knock a kid over and get away with it,
right? That's
and
the tricky. Well, if, now we're on some 100 player Danganronpa shit.
Yeah, fuck. Which again sounds cool. But let's say I'm on the playground on this big Russian playground island.
I'm there too on the big Russian playground island. I'm in an old ruined reactor.
Yeah, and I walk up on you and I shove you over. But another player saw that happen. Do I have to run up on him and
now they're running for the teacher? Yeah. I mean I'll tell you what the web needs is more cyberbullying opportunities, I guess is what we're trying to say.
It's also what PlayerUnknown's Battlegrounds needs is more opportunities to just make other players' lives hell. I guess what I'm saying is
go watch the video of us playing PlayerUnknown's Battlegrounds, by the way. It's that I like watching people play that game a lot.
Yeah.
I don't understand. I liked watching us play it from your perspective because it looked like we were doing legit SWAT ass shit from your cool perspective, but from my dumb perspective it just looked like I was running around putting on this different pairs of fingerless gloves for a while.
That is most of the game. I guess I don't know. Maybe there's nothing here, but the problem with this maybe is that if you see me knock over a kid and then another kid runs to go tell a teacher, I have to knock that kid down. 10 kids see that. It really quickly turns into a Hitman situation, rest in peace, where it's you're just constantly getting observed doing crimes.
Just pushing kids. Is there another more sort of innocuous, harmless like playground game?
Yeah, like a tag or some sort of, because I guess that's the part that I really find appealing here is an enormous playground. I want more games where I'm airdropped onto an island with 99 other shitheads and we fuck around for like 15 minutes. That's the appealing part of PUBG for me.
Yeah.
So you're airdropping onto a playground. Do you want to hop out and head for the swing set? Dive bomb over there?
So I just Googled playground games to see like what I could pull up. And I've got, here's a list here. Forza Horizon, Forza Horizon 2, Forza Horizon 2, Storm Island, Forza Horizon 2 presents Fast and Furious, Forza Horizon 3, and then Forza Horizon 3, Blizzard Mountain.
What are these kids doing on the playground? This sounds amazing. They're just fully simulating the Forza experience.
No, that's the developer of Forza. This is a dumb joke.
Oh, fuck.
Hopscotch. Fucking Freeze Tag.
Freeze tag
would be dope as fuck.
Yeah,
freeze tag would be good because when you get froze tagged, then you're stationary, but you can tag other people. So there's 100 kids, and you run and you tag one person, and all of a sudden you've got essentially a tag turret.
Yeah.
Right?
Well, what's really scary is that if a bunch of kids get tagged in one spot, and all of a sudden you're like one of the only untagged players yet.
You've
like
got a forest of hands.
A forest of children that you got to run through and try to avoid them all.
And then let me hit you with this. After 50 kids get tagged, all the lights go out.
Oh. And then, okay, maybe we give all the, every kid gets a flashlight, too.
Like a headlamp. Yes. And now it's not kids anymore.
Okay.
We've reached the point of the pitch where I'm uncomfortable with it being children.
Yeah, that's why I paused for such a long time, is I don't want to go through the dark kid forest.
It's adults, and they're all adults. And they're in the big freeze tag game. Red Rover, could we make that happen? Red Rover is so violent.
It's kind of a stupid game.
It's not a good game
either.
In
terms of just game design, Red Rover is a bad game. You run at each other and you hurt your arms.
It was designed by somebody who was like, I've invented a process to dislocate the most shoulders the fastest.
It's min-max. It's speed running bone injuries.
How about this one? Mr. Volgen said, Andre 2,999. Help Andre reach 3,000.
So it's a prequel.
It's a prequel, and it's before he got, like, the coolest.
So he was only slightly... He's pretty close at 2,999. What does the number signify, do you think, in Andre 3,000's name?
Hit points
is HP.
Yeah, so 3,000 is a break point. You don't want to put too much more than that because then there's going to be diminishing returns and in his stamina stat.
I'm also worried that if you go above 3,000, just the game doesn't know what to do with that sort of Boolean figure and it might roll back around and we might reach an Andre 3,000 kill screen.
Yeah.
He'll start glitching out.
But he, no joke, he's a demigod.
Mm-hmm.
Like, he's a bullet sponge. He's a tank. He's a real Leroy Jenkins.
What? So in this, in your headcanon, I guess, like, where, how did he get from, you know, like, how did he get from 2988 to 2999? How did he?
I mean, grinding, dude, farming.
So this is in effect a role playing game. So Andre 3000, it's not just 3000 hit points. He's a level 2999 character, and you'd imagine that that would require
He took the toughness perk, so he might be lower. He might be like 1500 or something like that. But he gets 2 hit points per level. But yeah, I mean, he killed a lot of rats and like wolves and like living mushrooms and crushed bone orcs. Got the belts, turned him in, and here he is. And he can fuck you up. He's got longsword proficiency.
So this is sort of a mise-en-scene where you come in, he's already leveled up. I'm just trying to figure out what the game is here, Griffin.
I don't think there is one. I like this one from Constable Jones. Number one, take I Am Bread. 2, turn it into an MMO. 3, market it as a virtual hookup space for seniors. 4, stalemates.
Are seniors going to go for that?
I mean, I'm dexterous and young and spry and brilliant, and I can't control this floppy bread because of how many inputs.
Yeah, I think old's kind of Wii bowling maxes out their abilities. I don't know that a game where you have to hold down L, like left bumper and right bumper and A, right, just to give one of your other old breads a friendly hug.
If we were to take just steps 1 and 2, then take I Am Bread and turn it into an MMO, I'd be real into that.
I do like that, because like, just imagine the robust physics required would result in some really cool situations. Like, you roll into a town and you just see a tower where like 950 other players have decided to stack themselves into one big loaf. Loafed up, and then you see a few other breads climbing that loaf, trying to get to the top and add to the pile.
I mean, here's what I think. We don't have the nug yet. I'm sorry to say.
Mm-hmm.
I'm uncomfortable being here this deep in the episode without the nug also. I think we have an opportunity now to eat Nintendo's lunch and make our own Zelda online. Because now we know what it's going to be like.
Yeah.
And I think we could take your reconnaissance you just did and sort of one-up it, and if we get that in the coder's hands, and they can crank this thing out in fucking 5. And then we pass it over to art, and they put the art on the code, and now all of a sudden, like 10 days before they even announce Zelda Online, we're here with it right now.
It's kind of, we did already attempt this with old Persona. How did that go?
We also attempted this with Harry Potter Online. This is a good fucking business model for
just
us.
Just the eating someone else's lunch business model.
Yeah.
The fidget cube complete robbery business model.
No, I don't know that.
So the fidget cube was a Kickstarter for a little thingy. And like way before they ever shipped theirs, there was like 350,000 knockoffs from coming every which way from all over the world. And I was getting like ads for them on Instagram and stuff. And I was like, oh man, that's
great.
That must be a bummer.
Well, then I don't want to be that. I want something fresh and original. I just want to be a Goron for once.
Maybe we just make a game called, like, Goronline. And
Boulder Friends.
Mm-hmm. Oh, because you don't want to use the...
No. But you're a big old boy, and you roll around, and it's really the rolling that is good, but also just sort of eating rocks and just sort of the whole design of it.
They just seem like they have a good ass life. They're happy. They
eat rocks.
They can go really fast. They eat rocks. They're funny looking.
Eat rocks, grow bombs, fuck it. Like, that's their whole thing. Like, every Goron has that tattoo on them. The tattoo looks like a spiritual mark, but it translates loosely to eat rocks, grow bombs, fuck it.
That's so good. That's such a good life.
Well, you want to be a Zora? Like, I have play a keyboard made out of coral. Fuck off. Grow bombs. Fuck it.
Yeah, that's no good.
Pass me that geode.
Rocks and bombs. That's a good life.
Rocks and bombs. Do you want some grass? No. Rocks and bombs. That's
rocks
it.
Rocks and bombs. Caxby suggests multiplayer Tetris where each player controls only one kind of shape.
So, like, if the backwards L tetromino is dropping, it's like, Cody, Cody, Cody!
Yeah, Cody, wake
Cody,
up.
Cody, come on!
It would be really gratifying to be the line shape piece and kind of shitty to be anyone else.
Here I come to save you all.
I would actually, I think this is the type of game that would be immensely frustrating to watch if you're even a little bit good at Tetris, because you would just, you would spend all your time watching your six shitty friends be bad at Tetris, and then every once in a while you get to try to slowly fix their Tetris mistakes.
I just played a game of Puyo Tetris versus Rachel, and she does Puyo and I do Tetris, and we just go straight up. No fucking funny business.
No items.
Just a bat. No items. Fucking Final Destination Fox only. Let's go. And I had like, you know how I do. I had like 12 stacked up, and I had those lines about to drop, and then she kicked off this nasty Puyo chain that annihilated me before I even had a chance to like clear a single line.
You just
got shot up
to the top of the screen.
I set up this death trap of all of these fucking three Tetrises in a row, and then she did to me what I was about to do to her, and it was, the game lasted like 20 seconds. That game rules, by the way.
It's really good. It's so tempting too, like, as a I think I'm a better Tetris player than Puyo player. Like, as a Tetris player,
I'm awful at Puyo.
I'm perpetually setting myself up for some Tetrises that may never come, and then if my opponent does even anything and sends any junk my way, I'm just like, I immediately game over.
Yeah.
It's all pre-pro, but I don't execute.
I mean, we get a lot of them, Nick, here in Cool Games Inc. Industries that aren't good games, mm-hmm. but they make me laugh. Like this poster for a movie called Arlo the Burping Pig with the tagline, "Getting piggy with it." Is this real?
Is that a real film? Getting piggy with it.
Yeah, it's real. It's got Joey Lawrence in it. Fuck.
Getting picky with it. What do you think of this one from Fort99, who says, Pokemon meets Spore. Every player creates a Pokemon when they start playing the game. You can never catch them all.
There's just an infinite... I mean, this kind of sounds like Spore.
But it's explicitly Pokemon, and they battle like Pokemon, and they look kind of like Pokemon. Imagine a character creator... It's whatever the fuck they're using internally at the Pokemon company, where it's just the same bag of like eyeballs and kind of vaguely bird looking things, and you can throw them together however you like.
I mean, at this point, that process is they look around, they're like, what do you have on your desk there? Like, this is a coffee mug. And they're like, all right, put some legs on it. Muggo. It's Muggo. He's psychic type and he flies. Here's his ability.
Who does he evolve into, though?
He evolves into two mugs. Oh. It's two mugs, and they have the same handle. Come on.
Sorry, you're just explicitly talking shit about the sword guy now.
I'm talking about the sword guy. I'm talking about the keys. I'm talking about Magnemite and Magneton and Super Magneton, who's like 10 of them.
Put Magnemite and Magneton under the same Diglett, umbrella.
Doug Trio. Five Dugs. The next Pokemon game, if you talk shit about Doug Trio on this fucking podcast, this is going to be the last episode. The next fucking Pokemon game is going to have a Pokemon in it called Five Dugs, and it's just going to be five of those fucking stupid heads popping
good.
Up out of the
And it's
going to
be the best Pokemon yet.
Duo Quartet, and it's a bird with four heads.
Fucking he's 40% better than Doug Trio.
I'm not sure. The math is great.
It is great. 3/5? That's fractions. That's fractions.
How about this one from Constable Jones? A game scene. Oh, this is good. This is it.
What?
Constable Jones sits this in. Thank you. A game sequel to Angels in the Outfield, where God has decided that the Lakers have sinned and must be punished. Nicholas, this is a game, the Angels in the Outfield product. Only
but
they
it's like.
The-
They flipped the script on it. We're sabotaging the Lakers.
It's fucking, I think it could be, and it doesn't just have to be the Lakers. I think one player is playing against the AI. The other player is just stuffing them nonstop stuffs. And you have to like pass faster than God can see. Like, you know what I mean? Like
right.
Fucking, you got to dish it. To somebody else on the other side of the court and just go for another fucking full court shot because that's the only one that God like doesn't even catch in time. But the rest of them, God is going to stuff you over. Because there's nothing more satisfying in a basketball game than more than dunking, more than winning, more than getting a deep three is to just fucking stuff somebody. Mm. And this is an angelic stuffing game.
Are we so one of the players is playing as the Angels, right?
Yes, it's one person is playing basketball, maybe 2-on-2 NBA. No, you'd need more than two players to sneak one by God. So maybe 5-on-5, and it's a big court, and they're playing AI, and the AI is not good. We're talking about a full-blown Washington Generals versus the Harlem Globetrotter situation, but the Washington Generals have a big friend on their side named God.
So can we trip a player up using our little angel powers?
I think we have angel points.
AP.
And it's like AP. You have an AP. And you use this AP to activate certain moves. And I'm getting kind of like the Lionhead game Black and White a little bit, where you have like God powers.
Yeah.
And I think stuffing is like the cheapest one. Because you can just fucking stuff. Like, you have to be covering that player, but then you're like Christopher Lloyd floating over them, just like, skadomp? Nope. I didn't think you were going to hit that one. You like slap it into the concession stand.
Yeah. Like, they watch the ball leave their hands. You watch the replay. It clearly takes like a 90 degree turn about halfway through when the Angels smacked it.
And maybe you stove their wrist. But there's other powers. I think tripping would be a lot of points.
Could we get some sort of angel butter to put on the court and really fuck them up? And then they get
angel butter would be good. Here's the thing about tripping and all that. You're still an angel, so you don't want to hurt them.
No, you just want to make them embarrass themselves.
You want to humiliate them while they're in the paint. Humiliation in the paint.
Is the name of the game?
Just sort of, I like in the paint, right? In the outfield, there's one called in the end. Angels in the End Zone is a football based.
But they ain't done Angels in the Paint yet.
They haven't done Angels in the Paint. Then that's the title. We got that already. But I think that maybe the Angels can also like, oh fuck, dude. One of the powers is you can just like pick up one of the Washington Generals and just like fly them across the court.
You have to burn your whole meter to do that, but I love it.
It's like, this is so fucking great.
Yeah.
This is really, really good. I want the basketball to be fun too, right? Mm-hmm. I want it to be fairly arcade style. Cause I do like the NBA Jam style of interacting with basketball more than the like whatever is going on these days. NBA 2K17 or whatever.
I can't shake this image of an angel like picking up a basketball player and just carrying him to the fucking to do a cool slam dunk. Like fucking the player looks back and he saw only one set of squeaking sneakers on the basketball court, and it was because the angel was carrying him.
It's so good. It's really,
such good
really
imagery.
Good. And you know, like, there's nothing you could do when if you're the basketball player and you're just trying to get points. There's nothing you could do if you see one of the other team just like flying around.
What are you going to call a timeout? Complain to the ref? He did a good jump.
It's Angels, and I think the commentary for this game would be fucking incredible. The commentary would just be like, "Oh my, what?" The ball just got slapped into the concession stand. It was about to hit a boy in the face, but it froze in midair, harming the boy.
Do you think the NBA has like a supernatural power contingency plan? Like, if a ref sees something happen that is clearly supernatural, what are they supposed to do? Do they stop the game and like call the NBA organizers? Like, what's the move?
I want to tell you. I'll give you the straight up answer to this, Nick, because I know the poop. 1997, a sobering movie came out called The Sixth Man, starring Marlon Wayans, in which a basketball player passed away and then used his ghostly powers to help the team win. And it was called The Sixth Man, and he was a ghost, and he flew around, and he helped them win at basketball. And the NBA commissioner saw this and said, we got to fucking do something.
We got to prep.
We're unprepared. It's like how you know that, like, there's probably some sort of like aliens plan. It's probably not very good. It's not good. I think probably people spent like 30 minutes on it. But there's probably an aliens plan. Yeah. The NBA has a Sixth Man or Angels in the Paint plan.
Mm.
So maybe, oh shit, you're saying that there's another party in all this.
Well, that's what I was wondering. Is like, do you, as an angel, I'm like, what's the challenge for you as a player, as an angel? Do you have to worry about the refs spotting you and then talking into their lapel and being like, we got an angel situation in here?
And then you know who shows up? Bayonetta.
She starts kicking and spinning. Oh my god. Damn, Bayonetta 3 is a big departure, but I'm on board.
I'm actually really into it. Can I say something weird about Bayonetta 3? The basketball is really good.
Yeah, the basketball physics. You can tell they put a lot of time into the basketball part of it. So is this game actually called Bayonetta 3, : Angels in the Paint?
No, it's just Angels in the Paint. Bayonetta will be a pleasant surprise.
It's a cameo.
She shows up. It's a
Metal Gear Solid 2 like Raiden situation where players do not know to expect it. Everyone kind of tacitly agrees not to talk about it in the reviews. So when it happens, it's a big deal. And
maybe
really,
there's a rotation of like, who else? Devil May Cry, I think. The Devil May Cry.
Dante folks. In there.
Dante's probably hurt angels at some point. Mm-hmm. I've never watched Evangelion, but I think it's about like big robots that kill angels or something. And right. So like we can get them in there.
Get that guy. Get Shinji.
Ghostbusters, I don't think they explicitly kill angels, but...
At one point, an angel got sucked into that vacuum or whatever.
Accidentally or whatever. But the rest of the time it's just Kevin Durant getting stuffed by fucking Christopher Lloyd.
It's a good game. I think we did it.
I would play the fuck out of this game. We came in, we were, you and me were both like lost in the paint a little bit.
And someone, do you feel like maybe
shit.
A podcaster landed on your shoulder, a podcast angel?
Two hands under my armpits right now and they're lifting me up and I feel it and I'm not lying to you right now.
Mm.
Can I say something? Mm-hmm. I want to get real for a second.
Yeah.
I've never stuffed anybody in real life in basketball.
In basketball, yeah.
I've stuffed lots of fools and other shit, but not in basketball. And I feel like I don't know. I would love a game that's just nonstop opportunities.
Mm.
You don't have to stress about your shooting. You don't have to stress about passing. All you have to stress about is following the ball, and then when you see LeBron go up, you say, not today, friend. It's me. You know what you did.
You blocked my shot.
Get that fucking jazz right out of here.
Mm-hmm.
And I think the other player can hear the angel player at all times. The angel player is wearing a microphone, so they can yell like boom shakalaka and get that jazz out of here. And that's some weak jazz and stuff like that. Do you know what I mean? Just like give them like the burns.
Seems like a high. I don't want to. We don't have to solve this problem today, but it seems like there's a high level of that could some of angel with a wrong attitude can make it a really negative game experience.
Well, there's no cussing. If you cuss once, the Bayonetta shows up. There's okay. Cussing sensors like they had in
Def Jam Rap Star.
Oh, what? Def Jam Rap Star had cuss sensors?
Actually, Def Jam Rap Star had the opposite of cuss sensors. It actually was set up, I think I've talked about this like a couple weeks ago, but it can tell whether you're saying the censored or uncensored lyrics and gives you points either way. It might be fun someday, not to get ahead of ourselves, but we could do a sequel where there's a chef trying to put together a stew, and then there's an angel trying to prevent him from cooking, like throwing the ingredients in and throwing the onions in, and we could call it stovetop stuffing.
Oh my god, Nick, that's a... Either that is a mini game in Deep Angels in the Paint, or Angels in the Paint is a mini game of this one.
Or
it comes as a two bundle like Duck Hunt Mario Bros.
I kind of think at the very... I mean, we could just... We nail the engine for this, and then we build a whole... franchise of games around our specific asymmetrical angel net code, because like you could do this to any... I didn't realize this before we sat down to record this today, that the Angels in the Outfield franchise was so vulnerable, both venerable in terms of where they could take it as a movie series and how good it would work as a video game. So
yeah,
great work today.
We did really good work. Is the Angel VR? I know I don't want to go to this, go back to these fertile soils if we don't need to, but I do think just that one-to-one, just Oculus touch, like slap that jazz out of here would be so good.
It would feel good if you had like a VR controller of some kind to knock that ball away. But I'm going to say no. I think we need to
give
ourselves
the microphone in the headset right there so you can just whisper into it, like slap that jazz.
Slap that jazz.
Listen, eat rocks, grow bombs, slap that jazz.
Slap that jazz. We did it. We're done.
Boy, it's late, huh?
Yeah. I have to edit this, so I'm ready to stop.
Thanks for listening to Cool Games, Inc. We did it again. Thanks for listening. Tell a buddy, leave the reviews. And see you next time on Cool Games, Inc. Till then, I'm Griffin McElroy.
I'm Nick Robinson.
No problem. Fine.